We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM and welcome to the 5 o'clock hour. It's the Hawk and Crowder show. Greg Likens in for Mark Hochman today. Channing Crowder here. Alex Solani just heard there with the update as we got an hour to go before we turn things over to Fight Night. Alex Donnell will be back here, so looking forward to that. We got a lot to get into in this 5 o'clock hour, including we're going to talk some more NBA with Dan Feldman from ProBasketballTalk.com next segment. Also, before the end of this segment, we have a giveaway. So we got to make sure everybody stays tuned or stay tuned to that because Blaze Pizza Party Pack could be on the way.
Ooh, it's delicious.
For somebody out there. So we'll tell you how you can win that coming up very, very shortly.
But in the 5 o'clock hour is the Funky Buddha Happy Hour on the show.
Yes.
Now, I'm a big Funky Buddha supporter. I love Funky Buddha, and this is the happy hour. Get everybody started on the way home. Wait till you get home, obviously, to drink, but this is the Funky Buddha Happy Hour.
I got to say, Channing, because I know that people can be cynical. There are skeptics out there, some who may say, well, of course, Channing is going to talk about the Funky Buddha Happy Hour because, you know, it's Funky Buddha Happy Hour. They're sponsoring and all this other stuff. But there are have been numerous times in which I've run into you off the air and you bring up Funky Buddha. You're like, hey, yeah, you know, what are you doing this weekend? I'm going to go get, drink some Funky Buddha. Yep. Hey, come over to the house. We're going to drink some Funky Buddha. I'm going to go fishing. Drink some Funky.
Like, that's what I do.
You just do that in your regular life. Like, this isn't an act. This is something that is just part of what you are now as a person.
When my wife actually just set up a trip, I forgot what it was, but when she tells me, hey, I'm going to see my friend's having a baby. I'm going to see the baby August 8th, that weekend. First thing pops up in my mind is, hell, I can go to Funky Buddha on that Saturday then, sit up there all day and drink beer. That's what pops in my mind because there's just hundreds of beers on the wall, and that's what I think about. Man, I got a free weekend. Funky Buddha, here I come. You can call me what you want to. I enjoy it.
How many different variations of Funky Buddha? Like, typically, if you go there, how many different beers are you going to try in a sitting?
Low end, probably 15. High end 20s. Look, they have the flights too. So the
right.
Little 3 ounce flights.
Right, yes.
Little 3 ounce four. So it's not a huge beer, but you could taste them. So I'll run through 5-6 flights.
Sounds pretty good right now.
Yeah. I have a driver, obviously, because after that it's you're feeling good. Especially with these damn double IPAs and triple IPAs and I need a driver.
That's smart. But you're smart about it, Channing. Yeah.
Oh, I ain't getting no. I'm too old to get in trouble. I can't stand in a 50-year-old dude getting in trouble. You're too old to get in trouble. You should have figured out life by this time. I'm too old to get in trouble. I used to get in trouble when I was 20.
Well, plus, I mean, this day and age with, it's like in the past, if you had to get a taxi, there's nothing wrong with getting a taxi, but sometimes you have to make a phone call and stuff. Now, you know, Uber, Lyft, whatever you decide, if that's how you need to get home, like even if you drove there and you're like, yeah, I want to be responsible, it's all like at the tips of your fingers. I mean, it's really easy to be responsible these days.
Some dummies just want to drive their car to show it off. Like, you know you're going to drink. You know you're going to the beach, but you got a new truck, a new car, a new sport.
That's
I got
to
ride down and rub the engine for the girls to see. You ain't getting no women off no revving no engine. And you really ain't getting no woman in jail. You probably going to be the woman. So you need to tighten up on that one. Yeah, I ain't. Don't get in trouble after about 23. You got to smarten up.
Yes, I'm with you. Man, you're full of wisdom today. What
trying
is
to
it,
help
man?
Out.
I do think one of our texters hit it on the head. Hawk's not here. You and I are the same age, but you're kind of serving as the elder statesman on today's show. Like, you're embracing this role, at least for one day.
I like it. We talk about it all the time. I can wait because I have a lot of living to do, but I'm not scared of becoming the 75-year-old sitting on the porch, retired, drinking beer with my feet all crusty, haven't washed in 3 days, and just talking to young people. Come over here, boy. Let me tell you about life. I can't wait till I'm that dude. Let me go talk to Grandpa.
In that scenario, will somebody be contacting you in advance of them showing up and saying, hey, wash up, take a shower.
If I'm 75 and I can still got some action coming, I go wash.
Well, I'm not even talking action. I mean, the way you just described your feet, I mean, it sounds like you need to take a shower or bathe.
Yes, if I'm still going at 75, I'm going to clean up for you. You come holler at me, I'll be on the porch.
Okay. Yeah.
We're the same age. We're both retired.
Yeah,
I'm
living. Probably having the same issues.
Crusty feet.
Crusty
stinking.
Old feet. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Giving people advice.
Yeah, can you imagine in this hypothetical you've just created where the little kid's over there and then leaves and sees like their parents or something, like, hey, what did old Channing say to you over there? I don't know. I couldn't get over the smell of his feet. Distracted me. It singed my nostrils.
It happens to my wife now. She walk in the living room. Just walk through the door. You need to put some socks on. I'm like, there's no way you smell feet from way over there. You can't smell your own feet because you nasty. That's what she said.
Wow.
That's okay, man. I think it's a man's feet.
You're saying it's a masculine thing to have smelly feet.
Yeah, man.
Okay, so you're proud of that.
It's pheromones like bees. Like, there's a little stink that comes out of you with a light workout that women are actually attracted to. They're pheromones. I'm full of pheromones.
Including via your feet.
Yeah. Yeah. It might stink, but it's just something about it. What's that?
I think you're onto something, honestly.
See what
like,
I'm saying?
No joke. I think he's onto something. Like, it means you've been working today, you know? Like, if your feet don't smell at the end of the day, like, what have you really been doing all day? Nothing.
Yep.
Well, I think there's a clear distinction between your feet smelling and you're talking about pheromones to attract women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that because I've heard that before. But at the same time, I think there's a difference between, hey, you got a light sweat in and there's something there that attracts mm-hmm. the females versus, man, I've been working all day. My feet stink, like are terrible, and nobody else should be in the room because it smells that bad. Like there's clearly a couple of different steps along the way where early on, yeah, maybe I can buy into the female being attracted. But once you get to a certain point, I mean, I can understand where your wife's coming from there.
Yeah, yeah. So
put the socks on or, like, get in the shower.
That's her exact argument there. Because I'd be like, hey, that's just a little man. That's a little man. That's a little man coming out of me. That's nasty is what it is. That's all I hear.
Hey, we've got a lot going on in the NBA. Certainly, this has been a busy stretch. And we aren't even at free agency officially yet. We don't even have the NBA draft complete, which will take place tomorrow night. By the way, Solano, you're going to be on after Hawk and Crowder for an hour, bridging the gap between our draft coverage, which I'll be anchoring with Zach Duarte. It's simulcast on 560 and 790. We'll be live at American Airlines Arena tomorrow night. So looking forward to that. In the first hour, in the 7 o'clock hour, Alonzo Mourning, Glenn Rice will be on the show. And then before 11 o'clock, before we sign off, we'll have whoever the Heat select at number 13 live on the air. So we're looking forward to that. So you can hear that on both our sister station and of course, here at 560 WQAM. But, Channing, I mean, we already have another trade that has been consummated. Of course, it won't become official until July 6th, but Mike Conley is on his way to Utah as Memphis has been looking to move him. So that occurred. Yesterday, we had all these rumors pop up again about Chris Paul and James Harden. Also had the Boston Celtics situation pop up where now Kyrie Irving and Al Horford apparently are on their way out. So it just, the NBA is the gift that keeps on giving in terms of storylines, drama, all the time. Which of those, the most recent ones, because you know there'll be different ones tomorrow and then Friday, Saturday, and until free agency begins, which of those strikes you as most interesting? Is it the Celtics potential breakup? Is it the Rockets dysfunction? Is it Mike Conley now joining the Utah Jazz? Which of those strikes you as being the most interesting right now?
The Rockets, it has to be. Watching them play the Golden State Warriors 2 years in a row, seeing the Golden State Warriors be the only superior team to them and knock them out, even 2 years ago when Chris Paul hurt his hamstring, I believe they would have beat them. And now you have your window. This is your chance. Capella, Harden, CP3,
mm-hmm.
come on and do it, man. Let's do something now. Golden State Warriors aren't what they are. Klay's hurt and KD's hurt. And now you want to start the back and forth. Chris Paul not, you know, having a problem with Harden. Harden having a problem with Chris Paul. You should be able to overcome this. Chris Paul is making, what, 39, 41, and $42 million or something over the next 3 years. Harden is an MVP candidate. They can compete for a title together. All they have to do is put this silly crap out of their mind and play basketball, learn how to overcome it. The Rockets could be in the Western Conference Finals, or they could be a terrible team with one of these guys saying, I can't deal with it anymore. I got to go. I think the Rockets mix up could really change the NBA, especially the West.
You're right. And I don't know. I mean, maybe this is what they ultimately do. And right now, it's still very early. We've got a long way to go till the season begins. But if there are going to be changes, those changes need to be made soon, within the next couple of weeks. If not, though, I mean, maybe we'll look back on this and just say, oh, yeah, I remember there was something going on, but they moved on from it. I don't understand how, you know, cooler heads can't prevail in this situation. I understand that Chris Paul is a pain in the you-know-what. And James Harden's going to have his ego as well. And certainly, you know, Mike D'Antoni's in the mix here. Daryl Morey's in the mix. The owner for Houston, he's a little off the rails too, because after they lost the Warriors, he came out and said, oh, we're going to win a championship with James Harden. It's like, okay, you're not helping, buddy. Like, just stay out of it, okay? Yeah, write the checks, and then we'll let the basketball people figure this out. But, like, if you're Paul and you're looking at yourself in your mid-30s, and I know I these egos can be the death of some of these people, but your window, if it's not already closed, is quickly closing in terms of being a contributor on a championship caliber team. And James Harden is there. He's a perennial MVP candidate. Chris Paul, I remember when they did a story and they kind of followed him around for ESPN. They did a little reality series where you sit down with like Jay-Z and some of these other people when he was talking about his impending free agency, when he's going to leave the Clippers and what he was doing. He talked about James Harden. He loved the fact this guy was a gym rat and all he cares about is basketball. He's like, I want to team up with somebody like that. And it's like, dude, remember that from just a couple of years ago. Why not take a look at this opportunity you have with the Warriors being injured and go for another championship? That has to be the prevailing thought here. I just, you know, the question will be whether common sense will prevail otherwise.
Yeah, and with both of those guys, because I totally agree with you, CP3 is the one that has to take a back seat.
Yes.
He has to. He's older, and Harden carried him. He was injured a lot of this year, CP3, so Harden carried him. But not even seeing, I won't say devil's advocate, but seeing CP3's side. The way we play basketball with Harden doing all the ISO, which is great to watch, and he gets all the glory, all the accolades, we're not winning any rings with that. So, Harden, I understand you're talented. I understand you're successful. I understand you can score, and people like to see you do your damn traveling triple kick out to the three-point line. But every time we get beat in the playoffs when we play the style of basketball, maybe let me do a little more. Let me facilitate. Will it work? We don't know. But we haven't seen it. So I can almost see CP3's side of this argument saying, hey, we can't just give the ball to Harden at the top of the key every time and go sit in the corner like bad children. I'm not a bad child. I'm an NBA player.
Well, and I don't disagree with that, because I believe in the notion that you can't win a championship playing that style of basketball. So they need to modify it to a certain degree. So there's got to be a balance there, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, Chris Paul, you still have to take a back seat because you're not the best player on the team. And James Harden clearly is. And so he needs to be the one who's kind of orchestrating things. But at the same time, it can't just be James Harden every single time down the court, right? Like, I don't care who you are, whether you're Chris Paul, all the way down to the last guy on the bench. Like, that's got to be frustrating if all your job is to run down court and then stand in the corner, right?
Yes.
I mean, you made it. You, as far as your personal success, you made it to the pinnacle. You made it to the mountaintop. You're in the NBA. You're playing professional basketball. And now you're relegated to just standing over in the corner while James does his little tricks between his legs? Like, come on.
Play defense real hard. Go stand in the corner. Then come back and play ball, you know, balls to the wall defense, and then go stand in the corner again.
And then when Harden gets fouled, sprint over there to help him up.
To help him up. Right. You can do all that jumping around. Get your ass off the ground. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be interesting to see not just what happens, because hopefully CP3 stays hard and they can figure it out. They're grown men. Y'all are two grown all-stars. But if another all-star has to come, and there are reports of Jimmy Butler going, who can deal with playing with Harden? Who is going to say, I'll play defense and stand in the corner?
Right.
If we can win that way, I'll do it. It's going to be tough to find an all-star that's willing to do that, especially year after year after year.
I agree. Hey, Channing, we've been teasing this for a while. How about this? You ready to give away a pizza party pack from Blaze Pizza?
Blaze Pizza, so delicious.
Caller number 5 to the contest line wins a Blaze Pizza party pack, including 6 pizza passes. And the contest line, of course, if we get this here, you got it for me?
Yeah, 1-800-227-0560. 1-800-227-0560.
There we go. Solana delivering a Blaze Pizza Party Pack. When we come back, Dan Feldman, ProBasketballTalk.com, will join us to talk about everything going on in the NBA. That's next here on QAM. Radio.com. Radio. Radio.com. Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens sitting alongside Channing Crowder in for Mark Hochman. Hope everybody is doing well on this Wednesday. So much going on in the National Basketball Association, and we haven't even hit free agency yet. But for more on that, we're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan as we welcome in Dan Feldman from ProBasketballTalk.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Dan, appreciate you taking the time today. How's everything going?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing well, Dan, and so much going on. I suppose we should start with the news of this afternoon that Mike Conley has been traded to the Utah Jazz. What do you make of this deal for both Utah's side and Memphis's side?
I think it's a good trade for both teams. As soon as the Grizzlies got the number two pick in the lottery, where Ja Morant is the clear pick, it became obvious that Mike Conley's future in Memphis was running out. Conley can still play. He's a real good player. He'll help a Jazz team that's ready to win now. For the Grizzlies to get two first-round picks, I think that's nice value. I also think the players going back to Memphis could contribute in some ways. Grayson Allen, Kyle Korver, Jay Crowder. I'm very curious what the Grizzlies' plan is for those three players. If the Grizzlies aren't ready to win now, what are they going to do with Korver? What are they going to do with Crowder, who are veterans? Do they see a long-term future for Grayson Allen? How the Grizzlies handle that trio is really going to swing how good this is for Memphis. But I think getting two first-round picks is good. And for the Jazz, getting a real good player at a time when the team is ready to compete, this is a huge boost. And I think Donovan Mitchell especially will feel it, having a backcourt mate who is a good shooter, unlike Ricky Rubio.
And Dan, with the Clay and KD injury, I know their free agency changes, those two isolated injured players, but what about the West? Like, do the Western teams now, you know, do they smell blood in the water where, hey, Golden State's not going to be what they are? This is our chance to maximize.
Absolutely. And I wish more teams felt that way earlier, because I never thought the Warriors' run was as inevitable as everybody made it out to be. The Rockets were really the one team in the West before this year to really seriously challenge, maybe even including this year, to really seriously challenge Golden State and to go after it. And the Rockets pushed Golden State last year to Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals. Other teams could have gone for it more. They didn't. But now, yes, with those injuries, absolutely, teams are lining up as next year could be the year. And I think that had something to do with the Utah trade, but they also targeted Conley before the trade deadline. I think they're looking to upgrade and grow from where they are now anyway. But, yeah, maybe this adds a sense of urgency in Utah, but definitely on down the line.
Dan Feldman from ProBasketballTalk.com joining us here on 560 WQAM. All right, you brought up the Rockets. They've been very close, as you pointed out accurately there, to pushing this Warriors team when it was at full strength. So with all of the rumblings about turmoil in Houston, do you think that they can bring this group back together for another run, or is this inevitably going to fall apart because of at least Chris Paul and James Harden reportedly not getting along?
I'm not sure what choice they have but to bring it back. I mean, James Harden is the franchise player. I can't imagine them moving him. Chris Paul's contract is so large that if you trade him, you're going to get such a lesser player, it's probably not worth it. Their best bet is probably to maybe tinker on the margins depending on what's available, but keep Paul, keep Harden, and hope that they can work it out. This is, in a matter of degrees, something every really good team deals with, at least almost every really good team, where you have multiple stars who need to give and take a little bit. They have to bend their games to complement each other. There are going to be some diminishing returns, but the only way to have enough talent to win a championship is to deal with those types of problems. And so maybe Chris Paul and James Harden work it out. Maybe they don't, but taking a talent downgrade probably takes you out of the championship chase, and that's not worth it either.
And then the reports of Jimmy Butler now. They said the Rockets are pursuing Jimmy Butler. Is that with CP3 and James Harden and Butler added, or are they anticipating CP3 moves?
Yeah, that's a Daryl Morey, the Rockets GM, is very good, and there are some creative ways that he could get Jimmy Butler, especially if the 76ers are amenable to some type of sign and trade. But the Rockets are so capped out, they're not going to clear the cap space to get Jimmy Butler. They need to get the 76ers on board for a sign-and-trade, or maybe there's some way they could make other trades to clear the space, but that seems really unlikely. I would say Jimmy Butler to Houston is possible. It might be something everybody wants, but actually making it happen and getting that money available without depleting the rest of the roster will be very difficult. Like, if you have to get rid of P.J. Tucker, who's an important player, Clint Capella, who's an important player, Eric Gordon, who's an important player, get rid of everybody else and add Jimmy Butler. Yes, Jimmy Butler is nice to have, but at a certain point, it's not worth the cost.
Dan Feldman joining us here from ProBasketballTalk.com on 560 WQAM. While we're on the topic of Jimmy Butler, there was a rumor and a report that emerged over the weekend that he would be interested in at least talking with the Heat during his free agency period here. I'd ask you this, Dan, because Heat fans automatically get excited at any possibility, especially during an offseason in which you're thought to not have any room because of their salary cap situation. But is there any way you could envision Miami making this work? And do you think Jimmy Butler has legitimate interest in the Miami Heat?
It might be a similar situation to Houston, where, yes, there's legitimate interest in the franchise, but figuring out how to open that cap space is even more difficult with Miami. We've seen the Heat in the past talk to free agents and try and pitch them on, well, why don't you sign a one-year contract because we'll have money the next year? And the Heat can open up a lot of space in 2020. So maybe this is, from Miami's standpoint, about trying to convince Jimmy Butler, sign a one-year deal somewhere. If you like it, you'll stay there. If you don't, we will be there for you in a year. And I think that's a tough sell with Jimmy Butler, given his age, given his injury history, given his mileage, especially playing for Tom Thibodeau in Chicago. I think Jimmy Butler is probably somebody who's going to look to lock in long-term while he's still a star.
And Dan, speaking about the Miami Heat, with there's differing reports, but one, I know, I feel personally, Hassan Whiteside is not giving up this $28-something million he's going to get, so he's going to opt in. But there are reports saying that he wants to request the trade. Is anybody calling Pat Riley about Hassan Whiteside, or is Riley calling other people about Hassan Whiteside?
Oh, he's absolutely calling other people. No, there's not a real clamoring for Hassan Whiteside. I think Hassan Whiteside can still contribute to teams, and maybe you can trade him for other bad salary. There are other players on bad contracts, and sometimes you just shuffle them around and give everybody a change of scenery. The trouble with dealing Hassan Whiteside is the way the NBA has changed. Everybody who used to be a center is still a center. Everybody who used to be a power forward / center is a center. A lot of guys who used to be pure power forwards are now centers. There are even some guys who used to be combo forwards who are now centers, the way the game has gone. So the league is just overstuffed with centers. Nobody needs a center, which makes it really hard to move somebody like Whiteside.
It certainly does. And Dan, we're looking at the Eastern Conference. The Boston Celtics have long thought to be, you know, in prime position to add a major talent like an Anthony Davis, or heck, even a Kawhi Leonard last year because of all the draft capital and young players they have. And now all of a sudden, it's like Kyrie Irving's not going to come back. Al Horford's not going to come back. They didn't get any of those other big free agents. So what is the current state of the Boston Celtics as you see it?
They're still in okay shape. I mean, they were so far ahead, at least it looked like, going into the season, not necessarily in terms of current team quality, but the combination of current team and future assets. Yeah, they're probably going to lose Kyrie Irving. Yeah, they're probably going to lose Al Horford. But they still have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, which is a real nice start into whatever this next era is. If they want to remain competitive in the short term, they've got Marcus Smart. Gordon Hayward maybe comes back from his injury. There's still talent on this roster. They are well coached to be good immediately. And then they have extra future first-round picks. They've got 3 picks in tomorrow's draft. They have this potentially very valuable pick from the Grizzlies that's fairly lightly protected in the years to come. So they can still do things. They're still flexible. They can still be solid in the short term. But when you lose guys like Kyrie Irving, like Al Horford, that probably takes you out of championship contention level right away. You'll have to build back up to be even on the fringes of that.
And Dan, we're trying to ask you to be a psychiatrist right now because of CP3 and Harden and them. But why does him and LeBron had problems now? You know, the report I read last night where he's not even speaking to the Celtics management or his teammates. Like, what's up with Kyrie? Why does he rub everybody the wrong way?
I'm sure that you've had guys in the locker room who are just different. He has his own way of thinking and viewing things, and is not always the easiest guy to get along with. people put up with it because he's such a talented player, and that's the exchange you make. I also think this year there was a very specific problem in that Kyrie Irving decided, I want to be a team leader. Like, I saw LeBron do it. It's my turn. He didn't know how to do it. He didn't know how to connect with players. He didn't know how to motivate them, and it went bad, and he alienated young players, and there was tension, and they had to work through it. I think Kyrie Irving, to his credit, admitted, oh, wow, leading a team is way harder than I thought. Like, maybe there's a lot I need to learn. He even apologized to LeBron James for not being a better follower, because I think he realized that LeBron was trying his best to lead. Maybe as a follower, Kyrie didn't always like it, but he can respect that, wow, leading is hard, and if LeBron was trying, like, I should have given him more credit for that. And maybe there was a subtext of, I wish my young teammates gave me more credit for trying. What I'm curious about, as it looks like he's going to the Nets, does he feel like, okay, I got another shot at leading a team. It's a fresh start with a new group of young guys. Or does he think, nah, this leading a team, it's not cut out for me, which I wouldn't knock him for. It's not for everybody. And maybe he feels like he needs a different team leader in Brooklyn. To me, that's a big question, especially with the Nets having enough cap space for a second star. Are they going to try and get somebody to be ahead of Irving on the pecking order, or is it going to be Irving's team once again, and maybe he'll just have to try to do it better?
Dan Feldman, ProBasketballTalk.com, joining us here on 560 WQAM. All very good questions there, because you're right. Who knows what's going to happen with Kyrie in this next chapter of his career? You mentioned LeBron James' relationship with him. The Lakers obviously have landed Anthony Davis, although it's like that was the big deal over the weekend. Now we're a few days later, and it's like old news again, the way things move so quickly in the NBA. But with that in mind, what else do you see the Lakers doing? The reports today are that they're trying now to open up more cap space to add a third max player. Would they be better off doing that in your mind, Dan, or would they be better off maybe having a more balanced roster with some other role players?
It depends who that max level player is, but in general, I think they're better off going after the star, especially because they're in Los Angeles, and maybe you can get some decent role players to take a discount, to come for the room exception, to come for the minimum, to come cheap to try and win a title with LeBron, Anthony Davis, and a third star. Maybe that third star could be Kyrie Irving, right? Maybe you could sell him on that. Maybe it's Kemba Walker. I feel like there are players out there who could help them. And if they don't get that third star, yes, in theory, you could say they should build out with role players, and there'd be some logic to that. I also don't trust this Lakers management to identify those right role players. Yes, Magic Johnson's gone, but it's still Rob Pelinka, and I don't know who is exactly responsible for which players last year, but this is at least somewhat the same front office that went out and got Rajon Rondo, Michael Beasley, JaVale McGee, like Lance Stephenson. I don't trust them to figure out the role players. At least a star, you know he's good.
And Dan, I'm not trying to line you up to upset Miami Heat fans. It's just a question because I've been thinking about it. Will Anthony Davis be the best player that LeBron James has played with since he started his NBA career? I don't want to line you up, bro. I don't want to line you up. I have to ask.
Don't do it, Dan.
I think it is more likely than not the answer is yes, that Davis will be. Now, I just want to be very clear on this. This is only as LeBron's teammate. Dwayne Wade's best years were before LeBron came. I don't think Anthony Davis will match Dwayne Wade's career. And Dwayne Wade was very good. It's a high bar. But Davis being younger, and maybe even a better fit with LeBron, Dwayne Wade really had to take a backseat to LeBron to make it work. Dwayne Wade couldn't be this great player anymore to make the team work. Dwayne Wade, to all his credit, realized, I need to take a step back, not be as good myself, so that LeBron can shine. That's going to be best for the team. Dwayne Wade was still excellent. It is still a very high bar. He was a star. Anthony Davis can maybe, while playing with LeBron, while being set up by LeBron, be a superstar. And I don't think Dwayne Wade was quite on that level in the years LeBron was in Miami. Dwayne Wade was a superstar before LeBron arrived. I'm not sure he still was while playing with LeBron.
Man, yeah, that, you know what, Dan, regardless, Channing did set you up. I mean, you did a nice job of handling that well, but he set you up.
Greg, I agree with Dan. He got a younger AD. Wade was older. I agree with everything Dan said. I just needed him to say it so that I can, you know, roll it out for the next 3.5 hours and have somebody backing me up.
Now you got a little cover.
That's all I need.
There it is. Hey, Dan, we really appreciate the time. Of course, I encourage everybody to read your work, ProBasketballTalk.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA, and Dan, it's going to be a busy next few weeks for you, as it is for everybody who covers the NBA, so we appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there he is, Dan Feldman. Again, ProBasketballTalk.com. There you go. Yeah, you did kind of set him up there for failure, just, potentially.
I've been thinking about it, man. Just when you see it, I know we love Dwayne Wade. I have a Wade jersey. I have like four NBA jerseys. Wade's one of them. But.
No buts.
But.
No buts.
Well,
Puppy Anthony Davis?
Wait,
come on.
A lot of this is the semantics involved, right, and how you frame it. So Mark Stein's tweet got everybody fired up, including myself, saying that the best teammate. I would make the argument, if we're just going it based on teammate, that Dwayne Wade, as a teammate, did what he needed to do. He was selfless, backed off in terms of his role as being the mayor of Wade County, and said, LeBron, I'm handing the reins over to you. You could argue that he will never have a teammate that was so selfless for the betterment of the team. And also, if you're talking about who's more accomplished entering their tandem, certainly Dwayne Wade wins that in a landslide. But my question now with Anthony Davis is whether he can stay healthy.
Yes.
Because, you know, he's missed 110 games in his seven regular seasons up to this point. It's only been in two postseasons. And Dwayne Wade proved that he could elevate the play of those around him. Anthony Davis, to me, has not proven that. So, I mean, you can say all you want, Channing, but I don't hear you backing much up except for he's a puppy because he's 26 years old.
He's young. He's gigantic. He can shoot from the outside. Another thing, too, and I know, Greg, I think we've talked about this before, the Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, taking a back seat to a guy, I don't give players credit for that. Mm. Like, I'm going to take – just think about this. Oh, yeah, I'll take less shots. I'll be less effective because he's here. I can't give a player credit for that. That's why I've had the Bosh argument forever where he took the third seat. No. He had to take the damn third seat. Don't give him credit for sitting in the back seat because mommy and daddy are up front. LeBron was daddy. Wade was mommy. Chris Bosh had to sit in the puppy seat in the back seat. Don't give him credit because there's nobody up front. We don't have bench chairs anymore, Greg.
This guy took out D. Wade and Chris Bosh in a matter of 3 minutes.
I didn't take out D. Wade. I'll take out Chris Bosh all day long. But I didn't take out – I just – at the end of it, we'll see who's the better teammate.
Okay. Time will tell. That's for sure.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
We're back here on 560 WQAM. Final segment on today's Hawk and Crowder show. Greg Likens in for Mark Hockman. Channing Crowder here. Alex Solana as well. Hawk will be back tomorrow from 2 to 6. Coming up after us at 6 o'clock. Fight Night with Alex Donald, Frank Zaffari. Make sure you stay tuned for that as they'll be on from 6 to 8. By the way, it is the Funky Buddha Happy Hour, which is always a good time of this 5 o'clock hour. And as Channing keeps mentioning, I mean, you keep bringing that up. And I feel like I know we shouldn't do it during the show, so we'll wait till later, but I feel like sampling the product, you know what I mean? Like, it just gets you, it's enticing.
Well, I actually have some in the refrigerator here, and I'll send you home with a couple, Greg.
Okay,
that's what kind of love I got for
Look
you.
Look at that, man.
Keep me some beers around me.
Channing Crowder. I think if I start, you know, drinking more Funky Buddha, then I'm just going to just be, have all this wisdom pouring out of me like you do.
You will, man. Right? Those hops, something about those hops, they put it in you.
Well, there's
Mosaic hops.
There's something about you agreeing with Dan Feldman last segment that's fired up everybody on the text line about Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah.
But amidst that interview, we didn't talk to him about it because it's like, you know, bringing a national guy on to talk about a draft pick acquisition, probably not the biggest thing in the world for him. Bigger for us here locally because news broke during that interview that the Miami Heat officially have announced that they've acquired a second-round pick, number 44 overall, in tomorrow night's draft from the Atlanta Hawks in exchange for a future conditional second-round pick and cash considerations. The pick originally belonged to Charlotte and was acquired by Atlanta in a previous trade. And after today's acquisition, Miami now owns the 13th and 44th picks in tomorrow's NBA draft. So, Channing, nothing can occur in the NBA, let alone with the Miami Heat, and we just take it on its face and say, okay, yeah, it's just they added a draft pick, now they have two picks. Now all of the rampant speculation begins again. It's like, okay, did they get number 44 because they're going to ship 13 somewhere and they still want to have a draft pick, and they're going to try to get rid of one of their quote-unquote bad contracts with 13 to some team out there? You know, are they going to keep 13, but then 44 is going to be looped into some other deal? Like, all these different draft possibilities and trade possibilities are now coming to the forefront if you follow social media. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do think it's very interesting timing
that the day before the NBA draft, the Miami Heat have added another draft pick amid all of the other rumors about Hassan Whiteside wanting to be traded, about Goran Dragic opting into his contract a couple of weeks before he has to and a week before the draft, knowing that if you do that before the draft, you are now eligible to be traded. So I think there's a lot of smoke there. The question is, tomorrow night, will there be some fire that backs up all this rumor and speculation?
I hope it's not just 13 and 44. I want to get in the game. Right now, the NBA, it's monopoly right now. It's a game. They're playing. AD's moving. This guy's moving. Jump in the game. Move 13 for, you know, somebody else, some big-time player. Or move this guy. Move around. I hope that wasn't just acquiring a pick this year. And you're giving up a pick next year. So really, you're just trading picks. You're giving up pick
trading
next year.
Second-rounders, yeah.
So it's not a big deal.
It's a few years down the road, it sounds like. What did you say, 2024?
Solana? 2024 and cash they traded.
Right, so 5 years down the road, second-round pick.
It seems to me, and I don't know if I'm just being excited, like this is the start of something.
It does feel that way, doesn't it?
It should be.
It's like they're setting us up and that something bigger will happen. Now, I'll say this. And I heard you guys mention this the other day, that the Heat are somewhat irrelevant entering this offseason, at least that's the way it feels. And I would agree on the surface, but I don't think you can rule anything out in the NBA to the point you're making. Like, let's get in on this. Let's see if we got some action here. Because, like, think about I hopefully I didn't just set up Solana for something crazy.
Huh?
Yeah. Right. It's too late.
Who would have thought that the Warriors would not have won the title, right?
Nobody.
I mean, even like a month ago, you would have thought that the Warriors were going to win the title. Who predicted the Raptors trade for Kawhi Leonard would have produced an NBA championship?
Nobody. Right?
Nobody would have thought that. I mean, going back a little further, nobody thought Paul George would stay in Oklahoma City. Nobody thought that there would be a possibility, which there is now this offseason, that Kyrie and LeBron would reunite. That's now a possibility. So, like, there are so many different examples you can cite across the NBA of things changing so rapidly and so quickly. So, for everybody who assumed that the Miami Heat would enter this offseason and be irrelevant and would essentially just have to sit on their hands and wait for another season to lapse before you get more money off the salary cap, and then maybe another one after that to get the rest of the money off the salary cap before you have true financial flexibility, maybe they're onto something. Who knows? And that's part of what makes not just the NBA intriguing, but for the Miami Heat, tomorrow night intriguing entering the NBA draft.
And is that 13 a sexy pick?
It's a lottery pick. It's one of those. I mean, Channing, you know, doing some homework, getting ready for this NBA draft, you take a look. It's a wide range of who you've gotten recently at the 13th overall pick. Many people point to 2017. Donovan Mitchell was the 13th overall pick. You go back 2 years before that, Devin Booker was the 13th overall pick.
We could have had him, right?
Zach LaVine the year before that. Kelly Olynyk the year before that. So there is some value there at 13. And you're right. Justice Winslow is on this team instead of Devin Booker.
Yeah.
So there's some value there. But then also last year, Jerome Robinson was the 13th overall pick. In 2016, the Kings selected Georgios Papagiannis. Yeah, so, you know, it's a real mixed bag. But to your point, the upside, you could get a Devin Booker, you could get a Donovan Mitchell at 13. So, you know, if somebody identifies someone who they feel is in that mold, then maybe they're interested in making a deal with the Heat. Or the Heat could take that guy.
And with that, like, just I'm thinking now, it just came out, so I'm thinking now, does Pat want to wait and find the next Devin Booker and then draft a guy next year and keep moving? Or does Pat want to shake it up now, get him a star now, bring it maybe Jimmy, see if Jimmy would come or do something to figure out how to get a star. Next year, you have all that money off the books, 2020. Jimmy's already here. Now he helps you add some other pieces. Start the rebuild early, knowing you have that star. He'll have some excitement. You're not going to go deep in the playoffs. But now Jimmy can attract some people after James Johnson, with Deion Waiters, all those bad contracts we signed right after Big Three broke up, they're off the books. You can start a year earlier. I hope that's what it is.
Well, we know what Pat Riley's MO is, right? I mean, you ask that question and you know the answer. Like,
yeah.
He prefers to get the proven commodity, the guy who's been in the NBA, as opposed to just relying on draft picks. Now, granted, they've had some good draft picks over the years. Dwayne Wade was a draft pick and turned into the best player in franchise history. But overall, we know what Pat Riley likes. He wants to win and win now. And if he can do so by making a big move, which he's been known to do as well, I think that's what he would opt for.
And recently we've had some draft pick workout. I think Bam's going to be a piece. He'll always be the energy piece on the team. He'll be a good player. He's never, I don't think, tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think Bam's going to be a superstar at any moment in his career.
I don't think so either. But you talk to some Heat fans, they think otherwise.
Well,
oh, here goes Heat Man.
I mean, Crowder, if you want to go that route, I understand it. But Bam, he's got some upside, I'll tell you that.
So, Bam with his upside.
Yeah.
Justice, you drafted. Jay Rich, wasn't it? They were in the same year.
Justice and Jay Rich.
Justice,
yes.
And Jay Rich. So, you got your young same puppies. Year. Now it's time for Pat to go find his whale. Am I wrong when I say the phrase whale hunting was invented by Pat Riley?
It was. It was coined for the Heat. But
you know what I'm saying? Go get a whale.
But don't do it like when you were saying to shake things up, right, with this second pick. What I'm afraid of the Heat doing is shaking it up just to shake it up, right? Everybody's making moves. Now we have to make a move. Don't do that. It's tough, but stick it out and make the right move, because you don't want to go just shake things up, get Chris Paul, and now, you know, you have this crazy contract. You basically did the same thing. Like, I get it. You have your superstar, but you have a guy who's going to be 37 making $42 million that season 3 years from now. Like, don't shake things up just to shake things up.
I'm
do
with
it
you.
Wisely.
No,
yeah,
I
don't
agree.
Bring Chris Paul in.
I agree on that. The question will be Jimmy Butler. Is he worth shaking it up for?
Right.
And I think it's an intriguing possibility when you consider kind of what we've gone through the last couple of years with this roster and what the short-term future looks like as well. Like, if you just come back with the same team but without Dwayne Wade, it's like, man, Dwayne Wade was the reason we watched last year.
Yeah.
So, anyway, hey, that's going to do it for us, Channing. It's been a fun, very fast 4 hours, as always, working with you, Channing. A lot of fun and entertainment and wisdom. Lots of wisdom.
We helped
that's
out people
for sure.
Today.
We've established that. Solana, great work as always. Big thanks to Dan Feldman and Ben Golliver who joined us on the program. Mark Hockman will be back in this seat tomorrow. Coming up next, Fight Night with Alex Donnell and Frank Zaffrey. Stay tuned here on QAM.
If you want to do something, don't get in this bed without getting in the wash.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.